I want to draw your attention this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 16th chapter. In the 9th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I just want to read one verse to you. And I would also like to remind you, please keep me in your prayers as I'm before you. The scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in the 9th verse, reads, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And there are many adversaries. If the Lord would be with us this morning, I want to speak on the subject of opportunity. Of opportunity. The Apostle Paul is mentioning here a great door. A great and effectual door. The effectual is used to describe the type of opportunity that has presented itself to him in his ministry in the area of Ephesus, in the area of Asia. That's what verse 8 tells us. "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me." But there are many adversaries, is what he says about his opportunity. I believe that as we read through the Word of God in the New Testament, that there's a lot of things that we can learn about the man, the Apostle Paul. And he's not the center point. He's not the theme of the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is, but the Apostle Paul being the penman, not the author, the Holy Ghost is the author of Scripture, but the Apostle Paul as the penman of the New Testament teaches us we can learn a lot about the character of the Apostle Paul. In joking, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about him. We do know that he wasn't married, and it's like Elder Michael Goins jokingly said, you know, it may have been because he was too sharp, or it may have been because he was just ugly. You know, he was joking, but nevertheless, we don't know why he wasn't, but we know that he wasn't. But in the things that we know about the man, the Apostle Paul, it's important that as we read this verse this morning, that one of the things that we continually remember about him was he was a man ready and willing to go through a door when the Lord opened it unto him concerning the kingdom of God. He was willing to suffer for the Lord's sake to preach His gospel wherever the Lord had opened the door. And I believe that as we read this verse this morning, he says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries that you and I can learn from the example of the Apostle Paul and some other saints in Scripture that I want to go to in the Old Testament about doors and opportunities that the Lord opens unto us here in our life in this world." I don't know about you, but one of the things that bothers me the most is when the Lord opens a door, an opportunity for me, and I fail to take advantage of that the Lord has presented unto me. I know it's not right and for us to continue to dwell on things of the past, but that's one of the things that I have the hardest time getting over, is when I know that God has opened a door and an opportunity unto me, and I fail to take advantage of it. I get discouraged in a spiritual sense whenever that happens. I get discouraged in a natural sense. I don't know about you, but I get discouraged when I'm watching a ball game and I see an opportunity to present itself to the team that I'm pulling for and they don't take advantage of it. I've still got that on my mind the next morning if they lost that ball game. I've still got, on Saturday morning I talked to the people at the hotel we were staying at about all the opportunities that the Braves had on Friday night to win that ball game, but they neglected to do it. You know, it's one thing to get whipped. It's another thing to not take advantage of an opportunity whenever it presents itself to you. There's a difference between those two things, and it gripes me. And I'm here to tell you as one this morning that the Lord has opened up a many of an opportunity in my walk with Him to learn from my example. And if the Lord will be with us today, if I bring any of them out and they can benefit you, I pray that you would use it, put it in your pocket, and grow in it. That whenever the Lord presented you an opportunity, that you'd be willing to grasp it and say, "If my God is in this, I'm willing to walk with Him through this door." This door. He says, "For a great and effectual door is open unto me. And there are many adversaries." I tell you, as we go through these examples in Scripture, One of the things that you'll find is when the Lord is present with a door, you're going to have adversaries from outside try to discourage you from going through it. If you think that because that the Lord is involved in a door that you're not going to receive any sort of opposition from this world, you've misunderstood what a door from the Lord means. A door from the Lord means I've got it open, but it's going to take you standing with me to battle the opposition and the adversaries that exist in this world in order to receive the blessings on the other side of it. The first one I want to go to is in Joshua chapter 14. I'm thankful that as we look at an example of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, we can go back to the book of Acts. And we can look at how he described his experiences in preaching at Philippi in Acts chapter 16. And I'm not going to read from it, just in summary to prove the point. The Lord tells us that he was blessed to be able to go and to worship with women in Philippi who were gathered on a beach that morning. You go and you ask a minister today if there was just a few people gathered, and the scripture says there was just a handful of them gathered. If there was just a handful of saints gathered, whether or not they'd want to waste the time to go and to be a part of those people. But the scripture teaches us that gathered in the midst of those people at Philippi was a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. I tell you, and the scripture says that the Lord opened her heart that day. No, he didn't regenerate her that day, but he opened and he softened her that day so that she could receive the message of God's grace. And he preached that message unto her. And not only did we see that she was converted that day and her whole house was baptized, we read, because he wrote a letter to him later on, that there was a church established there. He entered into that door. The Lord said, I've got a group of people gathered out there. You go and you preach the gospel unto them. I tell you, the Lord, the Apostle Paul, and I know I've made this example before, but you and I can't relate to this. Whenever he preached at Iconium, which is the cities of Galatia, of the country of Galatia, they drug him out of the city and stoned him on the outside to the point where all he did was just near death wipe the dust off of him and wipe the blood off of him, and they went back through the city again to preach the gospel. I tell you, when the Lord opened up a door unto him, he trusted that the Lord was going to bless him in his efforts to expand the boundaries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul didn't believe that he needed to expand the new birth and that he needed to reach those who the Lord had not reached with his Spirit to give them life in Christ. That was not the point of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He took those who already had life and who already had a zeal of God and preached unto them where that life came from and why it's meaningful for us to serve the one who gave that life unto them. We read in Joshua chapter 14 about a man named Caleb. About a man named Caleb. Again, I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us to not only have New Testament examples, but Old Testament examples to go to. If we ought to be able to teach what we believe just as much from the Old Testament as from the New Testament. We ought to be thankful that the Lord added unto us into the New Testament to be able to have those to confirm what the Old Testament already taught. But as we gather here this morning, let us understand that all the apostles had was the Old Testament scriptures to teach about Jesus Christ whenever they had their public ministry in this world. And if they can use and effectively teach Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, His church should still be able to do it today. And that doesn't mean that we isolate it and not teach the New Testament too. It just means that we ought to be able to effectively show some experiences in the Old Testament. And I like the experience of Caleb. I like the boldness of Joshua and Caleb. I like a bold man. A man not bold and not bold in rebellion against God. I like a man who's bold in his service to God. It doesn't offend me. You know that boldness in service to God will offend some people? It'll offend me. I believe that's what happened in the case of Aaron and Moses whenever they were performing their ministry to the Lord's people. And they... And some came to them and were angry with them that they had taken it upon themselves to be the Lord's ministers upon the earth. And they came to them, and what was it? They were offended that they were so bold in their service. They were offended by that. I pray for boldness in service to God. I pray that as I try to proclaim the truths found in God's Word, that when people leave, I'm like the preacher who said, I can't make sure that you agree with me before you leave, but one thing I want to make sure you do before you leave is believe that I believe what I said. And I believe the way that you're established in that and say, Brother Will believes what he said today, is if it's preached in boldness. If it's preached with a lot of question marks in the clouds above my head, in other words, I'm not really sure what this verse means, but this is what I think. I'm not saying whenever I've tried to explain it to you that that's the only interpretation you've got, but I at least want you to believe that that's the way I interpret it. And as we look at the life of Caleb this morning, I want you to agree that Brother Will sees here a man who had a door open unto him for his service unto God. And that he was one who was bold in that door whenever it was opened unto him. I tell you, I'm thankful that it not only that we can see from the saints in the Old Testament and compare it to some saints in the New Testament and see some similarities. I see some similarities in some of these that we're going to go to this morning, and even the church here at Macedonia. Even the church here at Macedonia. I see boldness in the service of Caleb, who at this point in time in Joshua chapter 14, the scripture tells us is 85 years old. 85 years old. That's 4 times 20 and then plus 5. 4 times 20 to our in-house mathematician, Brother Luke Taylor, I believe is 80. And then you add 5 to 80 and you get 85. He was 85 in this point in time. And the scripture tells us that he was one of the two, Joshua being the other. And hang with me here for just a second while we get up to this point. He was one of two who, whenever the first time they came to Canaan land, that the Israelites sent the spies out there to see what was in that land, he was one of the two, Joshua being the other, who said, God has given us this land. And even though there's giants in it, there has been a great and effectual door open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There was a door that was open unto the children of Israel to inhabit a land that was already populated with blessings from on high. That fruit was already growing in that land. There was grapes on those trees. There was apples on those trees. There was things for them to eat that they had not planted. It was ready for them. There was a door open unto them. And whenever the Lord led them to it, they sent out those spies. And the spies came back and said, there's giants in there. We can't take it. There were two that said that they could, Joshua and Caleb. And the Lord told the Israelites that day, because you have murmured at my blessing and said that you are unable. And again, the reason why I believe it's okay for us to be frustrated whenever we don't enter an open door is because it frustrates God whenever we don't. Whenever we don't trust that He's in the map. Whenever we don't trust that He is able to bless us above and beyond that which this world can give us. Whenever we don't trust in that, it angers our God. And if it angers our God, it ought to frustrate us too. And our Lord was angry with them that day. And He said, because you've refused to enter in, every one of you from 20 years old and down, every 20 years old and up, will fall in this wilderness and die. Save two, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two that were bold enough. Don't tell me that that's a picture of eternal heaven either. Don't tell me that that's figurative of two men out of a multitude of several million, that they were the only two that got to experience eternal heaven. No, that's not what that's a picture of. Whenever you see this, that the Lord's chastisement and judgment fell upon them, it's a symbol that there was children of God there, and there's children of God in this world today who don't trust in the power of the Almighty God. And yet this one Caleb did. This one Caleb did. And I tell you, as we read through these words right here, we read of a man 45 years after the fact. I tell you, there's a lot of things that may discourage us in our service and say, boy, I tell you what, I wish I'd have been able to do that years ago. I wish we would have done this a long time ago. There's been a lot of people who've said that about the Lord's blessings on us having a new church building. Shouldn't it have been a long time ago? And I tell you, we could have been discouraged about that. But I tell you, I encourage you today, let's enjoy and rejoice that we're doing it today. And that's exactly what Caleb did. It says here in Joshua chapter 14, start with me in verse 6. He says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, and it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He says, 45 years ago, I was told that this land is mine. 45 years ago, I was told that we were going to receive the blessings of it, that there was a door opened up unto us of receiving it. And how discouraging it must be that he lost 45 years. He lost 45 years. You know, I think we ought to capitalize on every day that the Lord gives us. We ought to capitalize on every opportunity that we have to tell our spouses we love them. We ought to capitalize on every opportunity we have to tell our children we love them. And I don't think we ought to do it just through voice. I think we ought to do it through action. I think we ought to capitalize on those moments. And it's frustrating sometimes whenever we don't capitalize on them and we don't make the best of them. But whenever we do, let us not frustrate. Let us not say that, where have all these lost years gone? Where have all of them gone? Look at what he says. Even though I've lost 45 years, I wandered out in the wilderness with them. I was out there and I wandered and saw my brethren fall dead in the wilderness. He says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't believe he's talking about physical strength right there. I just can't for the life of me believe there's an 85-year-old man that's as physically strong at 85 as he was at 40. Now, you might, I say that, and I'm convinced, and even though I get proven that I'm wrong over and over again, in my mind, I'm still just as agile and fast as I was 12 years ago. In my mind, whenever I'm watching a ball game on TV, I'm thinking, if I had that bat in my hand, I'd step in there today. And I believe it in my mind, I could. Now again, I get proven wrong again and again whenever I get to really do it. But you brethren know what I'm talking about. You feel froggy every once in a while too. But the frogginess that he's talking about here is not in his physical strength. He says, I'm as strong in my courage of the Lord. And the Lord is able to bless an 85-year-old man just like he is a 40-year-old, even though he's lost 45 years. And he says, I don't have any use here anymore. What does he continue to say? He says, now, as I yet am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He said, you give me this mountain. I'm going to enter in and I'm going to open it. I'm going to walk through this door that the Lord has given me. And if you're in the house of God this morning, the Lord has opened a door unto you. Walk through that door and rejoice in the blessings on the other side. Grab your mountain and climb that mountain. The discipleship and following of the Lord Jesus Christ is described as a mountain climb. There's areas where it's real steep and it's hard to keep climbing to grow closer to Zion. And no, I'm not talking about literally building a building and seeing how close you can get it to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual mountain where you can climb and you can feel the closeness to the Almighty God and you can have heavenly experiences here in this world. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. Give me therefore my mountain. He had a literal mountain. You and I have spiritual mountains. And you and I, whenever the Lord opens the door unto us, need to say, give me therefore my mountain. I'll climb it with you, Lord. I'll trust in you. I believe that you're able to bless me to climb it this day. Many times, Brother Luther Hill and I have had a conversation about his time left here. There's no doubt in my mind Brother Luther would just soon pass tomorrow and go and be in the arms of our Heavenly Father. But I've tried to encourage him. Brother Luther, the Lord still got something for you here. If he doesn't have anything for you here, there's no reason for him to keep you here. But the Lord still got something for him in this world. And I believe we saw a little piece of it last Sunday, by the way. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, I believe we saw a little piece of it last Sunday. But nevertheless, I believe that in at your service and to the Lord, Brother Luther, that you can take it and grasp it by the hands and say, I know I'm old and I know my years are few, but I can serve my God in the years I've got left. And I encourage you today, if you're young, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't wait till then. And Brother Luther hadn't waited till then. And you don't need to wait till then either. You need to grasp hold of it and go through that door while the Lord is bold. The Lord has blessed you to be bold with it. I tell you, I rejoice to see the Lord's children follow Him. I tell you, I rejoiced when I heard that my niece had joined the church over at Mount Perry. I tell you, I rejoiced in that. Do I believe that she's got the doctrines of grace solved and can teach them? No, I don't believe she does. Don't believe you have to in order to be able to join the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, if thou believest, thou mayest. And that's believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that she'll learn them. It's my prayer that she continue to learn them from her mama and her daddy, and that she'll be a pillar in the house of God and in the pillar in the ground of truth to her family for many years. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Walk through that open door. There is a door, a great door and effectual that is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. This world is our adversary. You understand that? This world is not for us here. This world is not on our side. They're not pulling for Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church whenever they ride by to continue to add members unto her by the Lord's blessings. They're not pulling for us. There are adversaries out there, but the Lord is on our side. May the Lord bless us to be bold in that service and to say, I'll go through that door because my God is with me. That's what Caleb said. He said, give me therefore my mountain. He's locking his horns in that mountain. As a matter of fact, that mountain was inhabited at the time that it was given unto him. And those inhabitants on that mountain didn't scare him. He said, I'm yet 85 years old and I'll go up against them today. May the Lord bless us to have the same strength that Caleb had that day. The next one I want to look at is a sister named Rebecca back in Genesis chapter 24. The context of the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis is that Abraham has called his servant, his highest servant unto him, and has told him that he wants his servant to go into the land of his fathers to find a wife for his son Isaac. He says, I don't want my son to take a wife of the Canaanites in the land that we dwell. I want you to go back to my father's land. And I want you to find a spouse for him. I know that the minister of the gospel a lot of times can receive a hard time for trying to encourage certain relationships to blossom. But it's a biblical principle. Any daddy, any pastor, any mama, any mother in Israel wants to see godly people find godly spouses in this world. That's it. If you don't have that desire for your children today, please tell me why. And because I do, if I'm wrong, you tell me why. If it's wrong for me as the pastor of Macedonia to want the young sisters and I don't believe we have any young brethren right now that aren't claimed, if you will. But if it's wrong for me to want the young sisters to find godly men to be their spouses, you tell me. And I'm not saying, again, I tried to make this point. I'm not saying that the Lord can't change a person. But I want you to find one that the Lord's already changed. Or either I want you to pray that He changes him before you become too attached to him, if you will. Make it harder for us to have to run him off later on. I'm just kidding. We don't do that. We're here to welcome the people to the Lord's house. But Abraham told his servant, he said, I want you to go and you to find a woman for my son from my people, not amongst these Canaanites. And the scripture says that the servant. And I'm going to summarize because where I'm wanting to get to is to the end of the chapter, about verse 56 is where I'm going to start. But I'm going to try to summarize this up to that point. And what the servant says to says to Abraham is what if she doesn't follow me back? What if she doesn't come at my call? And Abraham said that the results of that would not be upon thee, is basically what he told that servant. That won't be your fault if that happens. So Abraham's servant goes to the land of Abraham's people. Scripture says that he ran into a girl named Rebecca at a well. And he told the Lord, he said, let the first person that comes and
gives me drink from this well, be the one that you've sent me to fetch for Isaac. Turns out to be the case that Rebecca came to that well, and she not only served Abraham's servant the water out of that well, but she fed all his camels and everything that he had brought with her. It shows that she's a hospitable, godly woman. I'm glad whenever I see visitors come to the Lord's house and our sisters get in there and get them there, ask them if they want something to drink, and love to see them fill their bellies while they're here, because it's a godly thing for us to do that. The Lord, in teaching the characteristics of His sheep in Matthew chapter 25, says, "When I was hungry, ye gave me meat." That means it's a godly thing. When I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. When I was naked, ye clothed me. There's things that should blossom from us as being children of the King. And there's tasks that we should fulfill. Now, what you've got here is a sister that does that. She serves this servant, water that has come from afar, serves his animals. The scripture says then that the servant follows her to her father's house. We read some familiar names there. Her brother is Laban. Sound familiar? What's going to happen a little bit later down the road to Isaac's son, Jacob, who goes to the land of Rebekah's nativity and works for Laban, for his children, so on and so forth. Some of those names. I hope those names ring a bell. If they don't, you haven't been listening to me nor reading your Bible. Those names ought to ring a bell whenever we mention those. And so back in her house is where I want to focus on Rebecca entering into an open door. She's already been chosen to be the bride. She's already been chosen to be the bride of Abraham's son. But listen to how she accepts that choice and the boldness that she takes in accepting it. Let's start in verse 54 of Genesis chapter 24. The scripture says, "And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master." Now, I should have read a little bit further up where the servant asks for the hand of the daughter and is given the hand by the daddy. But nevertheless, in celebration of that giving of the daughter unto Isaac, we read that they celebrated in verse 54. "And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go." That's verse 55 of Genesis chapter 24. It says, just let her tarry just a little while with us. You know, I'm convinced that it's, I know how hard it is to depart with your loved ones. I mean, y'all have a lot of you have gone off to school, lived a long way away from your parents, and I remember when, I mean, it's still like this whenever Alice and I try to leave parents' house down in Southeast Georgia. It's just like, just tarry just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. And I keep looking at my watch and saying, you want me to tarry long enough to catch that traffic going through Atlanta? That's what I've got on my mind. I want to beat the traffic through Atlanta. That's what I've got on my mind. I don't have another hug. I love them, and I'm thankful they want to hug me, but I don't really want to hang around for another hug. I'm ready to get in the car and hit the road. But here you've got the brother and the daddy that says, excuse me, the mother and the brother that says, let them abide just a few days with us, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. Now, again, a door has been opened unto her. And I'm not saying that you and I, that the Lord's not merciful in allowing us to tarry for a little while that door's open. But as we're going to go here in a minute to where we've been in the book of Revelation to the church at Philadelphia, what we'll find is that you and I don't open and close the doors. It's not on our clock. And because it's not on our clock, you and I don't need to tarry hoping that door will still be open whenever we decide that we want to walk through it. That's not something that, you know, the Lord does not teach a tarry discipleship. He teaches a now, a ready, a now, and follow it, my command.
As the Lord walked, if you'll remember, whenever he called his apostles unto him, the scripture says that he walked unto them and said, come unto me, unto, I believe it's recorded in the book of Matthew, and straightway they dropped their nets and they followed the Lord. Straightway means immediately they dropped their nets and followed the Lord. How many times have you ever known that the Lord called unto you to do something and you said, Lord, just give me just a few more days. Lord, let me get something else worked out first. Let me do something else first before I do what you're telling me to do. You know, if the Lord wanted you to get something else done first before he told you to do that, that he wouldn't have told you to do it then. He'd have waited until after you got that done. Maybe he's telling you, if you'll do what I'm doing now, that task that you want to complete will be much easier after you're my disciple. After you walk through this door. And so here you've got a mother and a brother that they want to tarry. They said, let her stay with us. God bless Rebecca's response right here. The Lord bless her for her boldness to walk through this door. She had not even seen this man. But I tell you, she was one who was convinced that if the Lord could bless a servant to come, the servant of a daddy, and she saw the multitude of blessings that God had given unto this man and seen him to be a godly man. I tell you, you can tell a lot about a man based on the company he keeps. And a godly man will keep a godly servant. And every time you see that the Lord answers a prayer of this servant, he falls to his knees and thanks God for it. So apparently we're able to witness here that not only are we able to see that the Lord's carnal blessings are upon Abraham, but the Lord has blessed Abraham to have God-fearing men who work for him, who fall to their knees whenever they hear that the Lord's prayers or that his prayers unto the Lord are answered. And I tell you, Rebecca knows what a blessing that is. And I tell you, young girls today, you need to understand what a blessing that is whenever you're in the midst of a godly family and of a godly man. That'll go a long way. I tell you, the looks that we all worry about, just like the boldness and the physical strength that we still think we have, when we look in the mirror, we still think we look pretty good. But you know, all that will sort of subside after a while. I'm not talking about the being handsome and attractive, of course, but nevertheless, it doesn't stay the same. things start to change. And there's other things that has got to attract you to somebody other than that. And being God-fearing. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, you believe that this is His holy word that we've got open before us today, and that's important unto you, let that be your standard that you're going to use in finding your mate. And that's what Rebecca has here. The scripture says, and he said unto them, hinder me not, verse 56, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I'll go. She said, I'll go. She said, I'll go now. That door had been opened unto her. That door has been opened unto you. Will you go or will you tarry for a little while? And you say, the scripture says that I've read to you to start off with this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual has been opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I don't tell you this morning that your parents are your adversaries, but I will tell you that it's a possibility that they can be, because here you've got it right here. Here you've got her mother and her brother who are wanting her to not go through the door, but yet she says, I will go. The scripture tells us to honor our father and mother, and I'll never teach you to do anything differently. But I'll tell you one thing. If your father and your mother are telling you to do something opposite of what this word is telling you, then they're going in opposition to the word of God, and we are to honor God and Him first above our father and our mother. And that's exactly what she did here. I was thinking, but we'll come back to that here in a minute if the Lord will bless us. But there's two examples. We have Caleb and we have Rebecca. You know, I love the response of Rebecca upon entering in and seeing Isaac come across that field to her. The scripture says that she asked that servant, she said, who is this that walks to us? And she says, that servant says, that's Isaac. She leapt off that horse. And there she went to grasp in the arms of her spouse. Never having even met him, just rejoiced that the Lord had blessed her with that. I tell you, the scripture says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a favor from the Lord. I believe that. I believe one of the greatest blessings you can have in this world is somebody to go through your challenges with you, somebody to pray with you, somebody to love, and somebody to care for you, and somebody to care for. It's a great blessing. And she knew what a blessing that was. And she rejoiced in that blessing from God. She entered into that door. Now, those are two individuals. If the Lord will be with us, I want to go to the book of Ezra in the 9th chapter, and I want to look at it in the collective use.
and look at it from Ezra chapter 9 as a door being opened to a group, not just to individuals, but to groups. The scripture says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." The Apostle Paul being one who was ready and willing to go through an open door and to receive the blessings from the Father on high. You know, as we go through these and look at these, let us also take notice that never is this a door to eternal salvation. That's never what the door that the Lord has opened. You know, this world would teach you, well, that God's opened up a door. If you'll just enter into the door, you can spend eternity with Him. That's not what we're teaching this morning, because none of these contexts are eternal. All of these contexts that we're going through are for timely blessings here in this world. The Lord has opened the door for His elect family and has called them unto Him. They have come through it and He has given them life, and the door is closed behind them, and those are the ones that have it. Period. It's not a conditional promise. But our walk with God here in this world, it is conditional. And it is based upon our willingness to boldly walk through that door. Here you have in the book of Ezra, you have ones who have been released from the captivity of the Medo-Persians. They were taken by the Babylonians, but now they've been released by the Medo-Persians. And they've gone back and they have rebuilt the city. They have rebuilt the house of God. And we read that shortly upon receiving those blessings from God, they begin to exercise the same sins that caused them to get in the bondages they were in the first place. They began to marry and to have children with the tribes outside of their nationality. Did I mention earlier that the Lord places, and that we should place a high priority upon godly spouses, upon God-fearing ones that serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, here you've got a perfect example of it. They didn't do that. Ezra chapter 9 says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Ammonites, and the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites.'" They've married back into these people. They have not separated themselves. You know, the Lord doesn't tell us that we're to separate ourselves in the form of a compound. You know, we get to read about those crazy folks on the news about how they, you know, how they can teach that God doesn't want you to intermingle with people out in this world, and how He's called us to be separated, so we just need to build a big dormitory and all move in there together. And I enjoy being with y'all on Sunday. And I pray you enjoy being with me, but I bet y'all don't want to live with me all week long, do you? I bet one time a week is probably enough for most of you. And that's usually what they find out too. But He's usually able to convince them to do something silly before then. But nevertheless, so the Lord here, He's never taught us to do that. He's told us to be separate. But we're not supposed to isolate ourselves from it. We are not of this world, but we are in this world. And the Scripture teaches us that we're the salt of this world. And the way that the salt is the savior of the world, the way that the salt is the curer of the world, is if we're in contact with it. It doesn't mean that you're in contact with it through them being your spouse. It doesn't mean that you're in contact with it in terms of going and worshiping their gods. It just means that there's a life to live during the week outside of the house of God that we can't isolate ourselves from. I tell you, being a part of that world should make us rejoice and look forward more and more to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever He casts judgment upon that world, upon that wicked world, and overthrows it and takes us home to be with Him. But here you read that these Israelites, upon being released from captivity, have gone and have done exactly what caused them to be captivated in the first place. And skip with me down to verse 5, we read the words of Ezra, that at the evening sacrifice I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Now, if you'll see verse 4, I thought verse 5 was going to say a point I wanted to make as we went through this, but verse 4 says it, so skip back up there with me. Notice the ones who have gathered together with Him to mourn this loss, or mourn these actions. It says, "Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God of Israel." He didn't say that all those who had committed the sins had gathered with Him. He said those who feared God's judgment had gathered together with Him. In other words, He had gathered the ones that cared. He had gathered the ones that were mourning the actions. And the scripture says that he was ashamed in verse 6, and to lift up his eyes to thee, he said, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been a great trespass unto this day. Verse 8. The beginning of verse 8 has got the comment that I'm looking for. It says, and now for a little space grace hath been shewed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. He says, there's been grace for a little space, a door for a little span of time that has been opened for us to be able to escape. He's talking about the grace that God gave them to be released from captivity. He says he gave us this liberty for a little space. What have we done with that liberty? Have we glorified him in that liberty that he's given us? Or have we rebelled against him in that liberty that he's given us? I think the context of the story would teach us that they were rebelling against him in the grace for a little space that was given unto them. You know, our lives are but a snap of the fingers in terms of eternity. In a way, you've been given grace for a little space to serve the one who gave you eternal life. You've been given grace for a little space to do some things here in this world. And though it won't have an effect on where you spend eternity, but it'll have an effect upon the way that you leave your life for your children. It'll have an effect upon the reputation that you have. It'll have an effect upon the glory that you give God in your house. I tell you, I believe that the Lord honors our faithfulness in His own way. Whatever the way that is, we can't make the call and tell you for sure. Well, however, the Lord honors that faithfulness, but the Scripture teaches us that He does. And our experiences here in this world teach us that He honors that faithfulness. He honors those who enter through the door. A great door and effectual have been opened unto me. The Scripture says that these people were given grace for a little space and allowed a remnant to escape. But yet they squandered their opportunities and didn't enter that door. Didn't stay on the other side. They decided to come back through, if you will. It was a double swinging door. They decided to come back where they were instead of stay on the other side where the Lord had blessed them to go. Can we not see that in our own experiences in a collective group, that if we fail to enter the door with boldness, if we fail to rejoice while we're on the other side, how the Lord can bring us back to where we started, how the Lord can... we wake up and 3 years from now it seems like we're treading the same water that we were treading 3 years before. It's because the Lord hadn't blessed us to move forward, hadn't blessed us as we moved to the other side of the door. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3 and we're going to close there. To the church at Philadelphia. In the 7th verse, the Lord told the church at Philadelphia in verse 7, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. It says that he can open doors, it says he closes doors. Hold your finger right there. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. I just want to read a quick verse here about some who have the door closed on them. Not only do we read that there are some who walk back through to, instead of staying on the other side and rejoicing in the blessings, but we can also read that the Lord in His sovereign will can close the door that He's opened for you and not bless you to have the opportunity again. We read about 10 virgins who had lamps in the first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25. And I've tried to speak on this before. I believe it was in December of 2010. The fourth Sunday of December 2010. It's on the internet. So you can go and download it if you want to hear what I still believe it the same way. I'm not saying that I couldn't say it better. We should never say that we've perfected anything. But what I believe these 10 virgins represent 10 children of God. They're virgins. That means they're pure. And there was 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 foolish ones didn't, they sold all their oil. And whenever the Lord came to visit them,
They didn't have any oil in their lamps. In other words, they had not added unto the blessings that the Lord had given them. They chose to squander the opportunity. I tell you, Paul says that there's a door open for me. And I trust, my prayers are daily that that doors continue to open for the members of Macedonia Church. I'm thankful to see the doors that have been opened and the ones that have been walked through. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if we sit back enough and see how many doors that the Lord has opened for us, and seen the ones who have walked through it, seen the unions that we've been blessed to witness here. And I've got this one on my mind, and I don't want to embarrass y'all, but I've got to tell this story. Is that I remember the first time Brother John Claybo came to Macedonia Church one time for a meeting. It was in February of 2010. I can remember that time that they saw one another. And I tell you, I believe we witnessed that day a door open, and an effectual door open, and them walking through it. And I pray that we continue to witness and see those things here at the house of God. Those are special. Do you know that people out in this world don't understand why that's special, and they don't get to rejoice in it like we do? We ought to stop for just a second and see the many blessings of God around us and say, thank you, Lord, for opening these doors for these young people. Opening these doors for them to be able to go to school and then be able to get an education and have a better life than sometimes their parents were. I tell you, I've watched my daddy work on a farm growing up, and I watched him work, and all he would tell me is, son, you better go to school so you don't have to do this whenever you get older. And he worked hard to open those doors. And I've seen a lot of parents here in this congregation make sacrifices for their children so that they can do the same. May the Lord bless us to know that He's given us these opportunities. He's given us another day at the house of God. We are open. We have the doors open at the church today. May the Lord bless us to come and to walk through them. And whenever we get through them, not look back on the other side and say, I'd rather be there. But I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to boldly take hold of my mountain and do a little climbing this morning. I tell you, the Lord's opened up a door here for us. Every once in a while, we need to sit back and see. And not sit back and quit, but sit back and recognize so that we can rejoice and be glad in the blessings of God. The Scripture says in verse 10 that I want to quote from Matthew chapter 25. It says, and while they went to buy, speaking of the foolish ones, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I tell you, you and I may shut doors. And the Scripture tells us that we have the keys to the kingdom of God. We have the authority to shut doors around here. But you know, the door that you and I shut is not the same one that the Lord opens and shuts. We've been given authority in the kingdom of God, and it's just and it's right for us to have decisions to make here at the house of God. And there's authority with those decisions. But you and I don't have authority to permanently shut it as if it can never be opened. There's always room for repentance, if you will. And we need to always be mindful of it. But when the Lord shuts the door, it's not up to you and I to open it. It's by His sovereign will that He shuts it. And that rejoicing and that opportunity that was given, that door that was once open, has been shut. I tell you, you and I need to be willing to and ready to walk through it so that it's not closed in our face. One more verse in Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to close with this because it mentions what the Lord was going to do for this church. In verse 8, it says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now I know that as we've read through those first two verses, you're saying, Brother Will, there's more there than what you just went through. I know. We only went through one statement that's in those first two verses, and that's about the door being opened and closed. You have here the teachings of them having a little strength. In other words, they're not a strong group. They're not a strong church. But the Lord says you have a little strength. And I'm fixing to bless you with an open door so that you can have more strength. He says, I am the one that opens and no man can shut it. You and I believe in the Lord providing opportunities to us individually and collectively today. If we believe that, if you believe these accounts that we've gone through in Scripture, may the Lord bless us individually and collectively to take advantage of those opportunities.
to grow with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to grow in our trust to Him. The way that we grow in our trust is that we go through those doors and we see the blessings on the other side, and we see the Lord's hand in it the whole way. Not only do we see the Lord's hand in us opening up the door, we begin to see the Lord's hand in events way back before we even knew that there was a door and opportunity being open. We see the Lord's guiding providence and blessing us to be able to do it. Are we willing to trust in Him so that whenever He gives us that opportunity that we'll follow and lean on Him? I tell you, the Lord blesses us. The Lord teaches us in His Word that those who do have a relationship with their Savior here in this world. That's what we're trying to do here at the house of God, one life at a time. as the TV preacher would say, we're trying to change lives. That's what we're trying to do here at the Lord's house. Not only trying to change up, we're trying to better ourselves. There's a lot of people who believe that they come to the church to make the church better. I pray that we're all here today to say, I've come to the church to make myself better, to make me a better disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning, and hope that if there's been anything, any blessings received from the message, that you'll be careful to give honor, praise, and glory to the one who deserves the credit, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.